I'm so glad to see folks back. How many thought twice about coming back? You're like, I was a little bit in and out. Anybody admit that? The pastor. And praise the Lord. Now, I feel real welcome with these kids right down here. I like it. Praise the Lord. Is anybody sitting next to a grouch? Raise your hand. The staff members. Wow. Praise the Lord. We had a great lunch today. And your pastor and his wife had us in their beautiful home. And thank you, church, for taking care of them. I see it. And you're doing a great job. And, having a pastor is a gift. This day, right now, there are churches all over this country looking for pastors. And you just need to be grateful. Amen, church, pastor, and thank God for him. And I'm just excited about the week ahead. And God's going to do something great. And I'm not doing anything. It's the sound man. And Leviticus chapter number 14 in your Bibles. Leviticus chapter number 14. I'll let you find that. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and chapter number 14. Looking forward to the week of meetings. You pray that God will give us his touch on the preaching, on the singing, on the skits, on all the activities. Pray for safety. Pray for God to speak in the invitations. Invitations are so important when God is bringing people to a decision, and pray that God will do something special there. And everyone just be praying, asking God to speak to hearts. I grew up I mentioned this morning, early in my life in a sinner's home, a drunkard's home. But then we got introduced to independent fundamental Baptist churches. And boy, what excitement can be in the home, in the Christian home, as you're plugged into a local church. And so enjoy every moment of it. Leviticus chapter number 14, our reading tonight is going to go from verse 33 all the way to verse 45. We'll not read all of that now, but we'll just read just a few verses, and I'll introduce the message and then get to the preaching tonight. I've got five things I want to give you out of this interesting text. Verse number 33, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When ye come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, It seemeth to me there is as it were a plague in the house." Now, if you mark your Bible, I would ask you if you would mark that statement there, "It seemeth to me." It's a very interesting phrase right in the middle of this instruction. "It seemeth to me," verse 36, "Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest go into it to see the plague, that all that is in the house be not made unclean, and afterward the priest shall go in to see the house. And he shall look on the plague, and behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house with hollow strakes, greenish or reddish, which in sight are lower than the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again the seventh day and shall look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which the plague is, and they shall cast them into an unclean place without the city." We'll stop our reading there. We'll come back to the reading in just a few moments. Let's have our prayer. Father, we thank you for the time together tonight. It's been wonderful. Lord, our hearts have been challenged. Thank you for the great singing. And now we pray that you'd anoint the preaching. Help my voice, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, your home, my home, is so much more than brick and mortar. Can you say amen to that? A home is a place where we live, where we dwell, where we rear our children, where God has blessed us. And I'm so thankful for my home. I'm talking about that place where I can go home and find the love of a good woman. I thank God for a happy home. I hope your home is a happy place. And fellas, if I could just say a word to you, don't be so grouchy at home. If I could turn back time and be a young dad again, I'd be a little bit happier than I was, less driven, less driving all the time. Enjoy every moment. Come on, men, help me say amen. But the home is more than brick and mortar. We've come to this very strange text of Scripture. Your pastor mentioned this morning that he preached and taught through the book of Leviticus, but here we come to this interesting and strange text, one that falls into the long section where Moses gave instructions for dealing with, of all things, leprosy. It's not an attractive section of Scripture. Can you say amen? I mean, it's green and red, and the sickness of leprosy. In fact, this passage is possibly one that many preachers have ignored preaching unless they're going expositorily through the passage of Scripture. That's not my privilege here tonight. I'm coming in as a guest, and certainly it wouldn't be appropriate to try to exegete the whole book of Leviticus. Amen? But we're seeing in this interesting chapter this relevant portion of Scripture, and I say that because every word of Scripture is relevant. It has a place. Now, I will say this to you, that often the interpretation of a text is very singular, meaning it was written to the Jews. This is one passage. This is fundamentally instruction for Israel. As you remember, Moses is at Sinai. He is giving instructions for these people as they are about to begin. They didn't know it, but a 40-year wilderness, later on, an entrance into Canaan. And so this is an important passage of Scripture to the Jews, but we get the privilege of taking and extrapolating from the Scripture application. So the primary use of this text tonight will be along that line. Let me illustrate it even further. My wife and I, for a number of years, had a daycare in our home. My wife watched these little kids and great, great lessons and stories, you know, with all these little kids coming in. But before we were able to do that legally, we had to have what was called a house inspection. And so the several agencies would come into the home. And if anyone here's ever adopted a child or had foster care, you'd know what I'm talking about. The agency comes in and does a house or home inspection. They look through your house. They're looking for fire hydrants. You have to have them. Smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors. They're looking for those locks on the cupboards, and they're checking out the house to make sure that the home is safe for rearing numbers of children as an adoption or a foster care. I want us to think of this text kind of like a house inspection, that we're tonight going to look into our own homes, and your home might be just you, but our homes with an inspection in mind. And so we're going to draw from this text, this ancient text, some direct assistance on how to have a good house inspection. First of all, let's consider verse number 34 in your text. It says, when you come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in the house. So first of all, let's consider the plague, leprosy. Leprosy in the Bible is always a type of sin. It's always a picture of sin. And, you know, there's something about sin just like leprosy. There's no stopping it. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. It's uncontrollable. It will kill if left attended. For the sake of the kids and perhaps others that are unfamiliar with leprosy, it is still a disease on the earth, even to this day. My wife and I were, I was preaching in the Philippines, and I was in Cebu City, and I'll never forget there in Cebu, as we were for several days there, we saw several people that were plagued with leprosy. It's a hideous disease. It eats at the flesh. It often will remove fingers and ears and even the nose. And I'm not trying to be crass or nasty, but it's a very sickening disease. It's just like sin. And let me say with that said that it's uncontrollable. There's no way to stop it. And it will kill. The only cure for leprosy as sin is God. God alone can cure sin, and God alone can cure leprosy. And so people, this plague, if there is sin in our homes, let me just say, if there's sin in our homes, there's no way to control it. You cannot manage sin. You cannot put it in a box and say, now you stay right there. Sin in our homes, sin in our lives, you can't cover it up. There's no cure but God. And I'm saying to you tonight, in this upside down and pagan world that we live in, oh, do we need the Lord tonight in our homes? We need God in our fellowship, in our homes and people. It might be in your home tonight. There is some malignant and deathly disease creeping through the home that you live in. And sin often comes into our homes, and we must have a home inspection. We've got to get sin out of our homes. And I mean, even tonight, I want you to think about your personal home. What's going on in your family? What's going on in your relationships? Young people, listen to me. You might think that you can get away with some things at home, but remember, sin will kill and it will destroy. And so this plague, we see the plague. Number two, let's look at the same verse. It says, when you come into the land of Canaan, which I give for you a possession, and I put leprosy in a house of the land of your possession, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest. So I want you to consider, secondly, first of all, the plague. Secondly, the property, the house. The plague was in the house. It wasn't in the people yet, but it was in the house. Not the people, it was in the house. Let me give you some biblical context. When Moses sent Israel from Sinai to the wilderness, their goal was to get to Canaan, but sin, unbelief, kept them from entering. Right. We just sang that song. Canaan land is just in sight. Can you imagine 40 years? It was just in sight, but they couldn't enter in because of unbelief. And so they wandered, and the whole time they were wandering, they were venturing closer and closer to Canaan. In the wilderness living, keep listening, please. In the wilderness living, they lived in tents. They were nomadic. The tabernacle, that is where the ark was, first was populated by Judah. And then around the tabernacle were all the tribes, and they lived around the tabernacle through the 40 years. While they were doing this, God was getting them ready to enter Canaan. Now let's fast forward. Joshua takes them across Jordan. They face Jericho, they face Ai, and they begin to conquer the land of Canaan. Now, what they did was when they got into Canaan, they no longer lived in tents. They now lived in houses. But this is important to catch. These houses were already built. They were already there. And as Israel came into Lachish and into Jerusalem and Ai and drove the inhabitants out, they occupied the homes where the former pagans had lived. They lived in the same houses that the Canaanites lived in. Now let's look at what Moses said about that very thing. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. So turn left and go to Deuteronomy. Turn right. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And let's see what Moses said here. God instructed these Jews about what we could call divine displacement. Look at verse number 10 of Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse 10. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses. You see it there, houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive yards which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. What God is doing here is God is telling them, you're going to come in and live in the very houses that the pagans lived in. You're going to take possession of these lands. You're going to have their olive yards. You're going to have everything they had, and now you're going to live in it. Now, cross-reference, if you would, write it down. We won't turn there. Is Ezekiel chapter number 8. Ezekiel talks about what happened when they did come into Canaan. Ezekiel comes way after Moses. And Ezekiel mentions these houses in Canaan that were built with images and idols in the walls. Their foundations had embedded into the structure gods and images and idols. And Jesus, by the way, talked a little bit about it in passing in Matthew 12, when he talked about the evil spirits would come into a house. And when that evil spirit was driven out, we know primarily he's talking about Israel there. But when the evil spirit was driven around, if they didn't accept Jesus, seven more evil spirits would come in. Now I'm not getting weird here. I just said I'm getting weird, but I'm not getting weird here. But I want to tell you something. Satan gets his foothold in a house. A spirit has to have a host. And an evil spirit, evil influence has to have a host. And I want to tell you something, folks. We must be careful about opening our homes to evil influence. I was preaching for years in New England. I was a pastor there. We didn't have a baptistry. We baptized in a swimming pool of one of the members. They allowed me to change in their master bedroom. I remember I was getting all set, and I noticed on the dresser an image of Buddha about that big. This was on their dresser, and it grieved me so much. I saw that, and it checked my spirit. And I looked at that thing, and I thought to myself, no Christian ought to have a Buddha in his house. Right. Do you realize that represents tens of millions of people that are literally deceived and on their way to hell? I think about former Roman Catholics that would hold on to a rosary. Do you understand what that represents? These are evil attachments to Satan and to deceit and to error. And we could go on and on about even, dare I say, a crucifix. Now, I don't have a problem with you having so-called religious images and relics. Now, God knows my heart. But I want to tell you something. A crucifix is not something a Christian ought to have and use for prayer and touch for some kind of spiritual touch. You know something? There are tens of millions of people in third world countries that are still to this very day damned on their way to hell because of the influence of Catholicism. And I could go on and on. I'm not preaching, trying to hurt anyone's feeling, but even the Hindi Ganesh, this image of an elephant and all these things, these are all wicked idols. And to have them in our homes, it's an attachment to evil influence. We need to get those things out of our homes. And so we have the property of the house. And God knew all along what was happening here. I want you to see verse 34 again in Leviticus 14. There's an interesting statement here. It says, when you come into the land of Canaan, which I give you for possession, and God says this, and I put the plague of leprosy in the house. I want you to think about that. It says God puts that plague in there. I want to tell you what God knew all along. He knew there had to be a home study. He'd have to get the paganism out of the homes. I'm talking about the houses where the people of God were going to live. God said, in order for me to get it done, I might need to send leprosy so that you dismantle that and you get it out of your life and get it out of your influence. The gods and spirits of those evil idols would vex his people. So God put leprosy in the house. I want you to go to Numbers 33, if you would, please. Numbers 33. And I want you to see verse number 52. Numbers 33 and verse 52. I mentioned to you a moment ago, divine displacement. Divine displacement. God brings in his people and must push out those that were there before. Verse 52, notice what God says. Then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their pictures. And destroy all their molten images and quite pluck down all their high places. Do you see it there, folks? Here's what God's saying. There's no controlling leprosy. There's no covering up. There's no conditioning it. You must completely remove it. I want to ask you tonight, are you committed to Christ enough to remove anything in your life that might be preventing his blessing? That might be preventing his pleasure? Anything. So we have, first of all, the plague. We have, secondly, the property. Let's consider, thirdly, verse number 35, the person. Verse 35 of Leviticus 14. The Bible says in verse 35, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest. He that owneth the house. Let's talk about the person. He owns the house. Now listen to me. Keep looking up here. It's your house. It's not my house. It's your house. It belongs to you. You must take ownership of your own home. You're responsible for your own home. Two words I want to give you right now. Ownership and oversight. Oversight to some could be a negative, meaning this. It was an oversight that I didn't balance my checkbook and bounce the church tithe check. Oh my, it was an oversight. But oversight in a positive is this. Oversight meaning I'm going to be the inspector and the exterminator. I'm going to be the supervisor. It's my house. Ladies and gentlemen, you're the owner of the house. Your home. We're responsible for our own homes. Now look at that phrase I mentioned to you in verse 35. It says, it seemeth to me. You know, I've been pastor a long time, and I don't think I've ever had a parent come to me and say, it seems to me my daughter might be, and tell me something terrible. It's just we wait usually till it happens, until it becomes a full-blown trouble. Here we have someone who comes to the priest. I just want you to catch this. And he says, it seemeth to me. In other words, let's put it into modern vernacular. He's saying this, I'm concerned that, or I suspect that. You know what it's really telling us? The value of self-diagnosis. We're talking about leprosy in the home, leprosy being a type of sin. Wouldn't it be something if every dad in this church and every dad hearing my voice right now, it seemeth to me my home is not where it ought to be. It seemeth to me that my children maybe are a little bit outside of where I want them to be. Or it seems to me my personal life needs to be checked with God. The person owning the home takes oversight of the home. You're responsible for your own home. Say amen. You're responsible for the communication of your home. You're responsible to make sure that Jesus is in the center of your family, that you are responsible for the appearance of your home and the fellowship of your home. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 says, flee from all the appearance of evil. And we must get the things in our homes that maybe appear to be signs of leprosy. Oh, no, Pastor, you just don't know. And we just kind of let things happen and we just let it go and it'll go away eventually. And you know, the truth is some things do go away. But I'm a careful home inspector of my own home. I don't want to just take things for granted and let it just slide. I don't want to have leprosy living in my house. Many years ago, I was making a visit on a newer family in our church. And I noticed when I came into the living room and just fellowshipping, and I wasn't inspecting anything. God knows my heart. But I noticed a picture on the wall. You know, all the other pictures are up here. This one was right here. And I thought that was strange, a picture hanging there. And I was just kind of standing looking at it. The parents had left, and the teenage boy was there. I think he's about 12 or 13. And he saw me looking at it. He said, you wondering why that's there? I said, I am. He said, well, pull it aside. You'll see why. And so I'm standing there, and I went like that. And buddy, there was a fist hole right through that wall. And I put it back, and I guess when he came back, the dad came back in the room, the picture was just kind of doing this. And he looked at me, he said, did you pull that picture aside? I said, he told me to. You can go ahead and hang the pictures all you want. Didn't change the fact that somebody put their hand through that wall. I'm saying to you, folks, we can't cover up sin in our homes. Oh, you say, well, preacher, tonight, we've learned to live with leprosy in our home. We've learned to live with whatever is in our homes. Don't give up. Let me give you some encouragement. You might be right now thinking, well, we've learned to live with the situation that we have. We've learned to develop a pattern around living in a situation we know is not healthy. We know it's not what God wants. Well, I encourage you tonight, stop it. Stop it. Put a stop to it. It's as simple as this. Make up your mind. We're going to have a Christian home. Make up your mind. We're not going to have anger and yelling in our home anymore. In fact, I encourage you, and I'm being very direct, I encourage you tonight, come to this altar tonight. Make your place before God. Say, God, forgive me. Now listen, parents, I'm just being a pastor. I'm not your pastor, but I'm being a pastor to you. And then do this. Take your children tonight home. Sit them down and say, kids, we're starting over. We're starting over. We're going to get rid of the anger in our home. We're going to stop living like pagans. We're going to start living like Christians in our home. And the kids will look at you and they'll wonder what's going on, but that's okay. Lead your home. I'm saying to you tonight, you're the owner of the home. It's so urgent. You must do it. Sit your children down. It's a good teaching time to say, kids, your mom and I have not been doing things exactly like we ought to. We're going to change it starting tonight. I want to tell you something. You know what that'll do? That'll build a revival in your own home. It'll start a move of God that maybe you never imagined could take place. You say, well, preacher, what if we don't hold to it like anything else? You just keep starting over and never give up. So why is this so urgent? Because the plague is in the walls. It's not yet in the body. So the person, we see first the plague, the person, the property. Then let me give you this final thing in verse 36. And we won't read all of the scripture, but I'm going to give you a summary of it. We read verses 36 through 40, but from verses 37 to 42 and later verse 48 through 53, it's interesting how many times the priest is mentioned. You see it numbers of times. The priest. Now the priests are the tribe of Levi. And so these priests offer a process to getting the leprosy out of your house. First of all, they say, empty the house. Do you see that there? He said, empty the house. Go to the house and empty the house. Get everything out. And by the way, that might be a good thing to do. I had a lady, a staff member years ago, she came into the Christian school we had and she had spider bites. And I said, what is going on? She said, I keep getting bit by spiders. We can't find out where they are. I gave her this advice. I had a lady share this with me. She said, if you leave your furniture in place and never move it, spiders will build nests. And so I said to her, I said, this is what I heard now. I said, our home has cockroaches, but you got spiders. Just kidding. My wife, if she sees it, she'll be mad. I said, move all your furniture. Move it around. She came to me about a week later. She said, I can't believe the spiders we found. You know, sometimes we need to move things around in our house, get our house emptied out so that God can help us see what needs to be cleaned out and taken and thrown away. Say amen. The house is your duty. Open every room. Then he says, for 7 days, verses 38 and 39, 7 days. Just let me just make application here. Getting your house cleaned of leprosy takes time. Takes time. Stay patient. Stay with it. Come on, church. Nothing good takes place just like this. And so empty the house, takes time, spend the time, time heals, time can fix. And then verses 39 through 40 and on, it talks about rebuilding and restoring. Take the walls down, remove the blocks, get the mortar, the plaster out, and rebuild your home. I'm saying to you tonight, we got to get the leprosy out of our houses. Don't live with leprosy in your home. It's all a picture of Jesus, by the way. In verses 48 through 53, look down there, please. This is, and if the priest shall come in and look upon it, behold, the plague hath not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean because the plague is healed. He shall take to cleanse the house two birds and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop, and he shall kill the one of the birds in an earthen vessel over running water. He shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet and the living bird and dip them in the blood of the slain bird. Think about Jesus. And in the running water and sprinkle the house 7 times. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird and with the running water, and with the living bird and with the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet. But he shall let the go the living bird out of the city into the open fields and make for an atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. So we see here, this priest gives this instruction, but it's all a picture of Jesus. It's a picture of Jesus' propitiation, his sacrifice. I'm urging you tonight to come tonight and get the leprosy out of your home. Might be you've allowed some things to come into your family, into your personal life that really is eating you alive spiritually. It's destroying your spiritual strength. It's robbing you of peace and joy. My message is this: stop the leprosy. Put an end to it tonight. Young people, as we begin camp and or conference, and you begin this week for God to speak to your heart, I'm asking you to come tonight and say, God, open my heart up. I don't want anything in me that might be destructive in my own life. It might be something nobody knows about. The truth is, if we knew everything about everybody in this room, we'd go running in the desert screaming. We need help. Amen, church? And I'm praying God will help us tonight. Let's bow our heads together.